Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
A fetid sewer, deep in the heart of New York City. Rats and bugs infest the walls and ceilings as two lone combatants fight to recover a lost jewel. Okay, who are we kidding with that? In real life, an unknown island with a fighting arena, Shang-Chi and Liu Kang have been summoned to see who the best of the best is. And tonight, on Who Would Win, we will aim to figure it out. It's 616 versus Earthrealm. It's Brother Hand versus the Dragon. It's Shang-Chi versus Liu Kang. Today on Who Would Win.
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. Today's episode is worthy of main event status as two martial arts icons of geek culture clash in one fiery battle. In one corner, you have Liu Kang, a champion martial artist from the Mortal Kombat universe, known for his mastery of fire-based attacks and his role as Earth's greatest defender against interdimensional threats. And in the other corner, you have Shang-Chi, a Marvel Comics superhero renowned for his unparalleled hand-to-hand combat skills and his unwavering commitment to justice. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. Who are we kidding here? This battle has been very hotly debated for years and got even more heated since the Shang-Chi film was released. I think it was back in 2021. But it's never gotten the complete Who Would Win treatment ever until today, that is. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I'm confused. Are we in September? Is this showdown September already? Because this is a matchup often discussed, often known about, often thought about that, quite frankly, belongs in showdown September. Why are we doing it in July when it's only 2 months away? I don't know how this planning even happens, but I am happy to be a part of it. I'm back on the winning track with video game characters after last week, and I am looking forward to extending my lead with more great Liu Kang damage.
Look, I'm not going to disagree. There's something about this particular battle that just completely intrigued the Who Would Win production team. There's a magic to this matchup that is so intriguing, so freaking awe-inspiring, so incredible. We as a team, as a unit, I can't believe I'm saying this, we all came together, me, Ray, everyone, we had no choice but to unanimously agree to doing this battle, even though we're not in Showdown September, as Ray said. And look, when you have a battle that has this much power to it, that represents true icons of two respective geek culture universes, you need a judge who can see past the similarities and understand the nuance of the two worlds these characters come from in order just to see who would win. Do we have that judge for today? Let's find out. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the hardcore icon, it's the human tack board, it's the man who owns over 4,000 copies of the Burger King video game known as Sneak King, it's Leroy Patterson. Leroy, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Well, hey, thanks for having me back.
Leroy, look, you are many, many things to many people, but before we get into this matchup, I'm so interested in finding out, what have you been up to lately?
Lots of fun things. We moved into our new house. We've got the arcade set up down here. It's friggin' awesome. It's a dream. It's a bucket list item I've been wanting to do my whole life. I have a lot of really cool stuff coming out. First and foremost, I'm going to hijack everything and promote this. I'm going to shout this from the rooftops. I'm going to be as loud as I possibly can. Here's what you're going to do today. You're going to finish listening to this amazing podcast, right? It's so good. It's going to be great. We haven't even recorded it yet. You're going to love it. It's going to be wonderful. Then, right after, don't stop for a meal. Don't go to the bathroom. There's no time. You need to go to Tubi, the free streaming service on every single platform under the sun. You're going to search for The After Dark. All right. It's punk rock. It's vampires. It's me wrecking people, throwing wrestling moves around. Gangrel is in this thing, pro wrestler Gangrel, Sin Bodhi. There are so many awesome people from the world of punk and pro wrestling and horror. It's directed by Tom Devlin, who's done so many awesome special effects for Full Moon, for his own stuff. I would sit here for an hour and read this man's IMDb. If you print his IMDb out at work, you will get fired. Okay, so don't do that. I'm telling you, go watch this movie. It's going to be awesome. It's a ton of fun. If you like punk rock, if you like wrestling, even if you hate it and you want to hate watch it and then talk crap about it after, even better. Do it. Watch it. It's awesome. And then, yeah, tonight's going to be really fun.
Okay, you know, when you're saying, like, you get to do some cool stuff in this movie, I'm such a fan of yours. Will we be able to see the human tack board do what they do best and just become the human tack board in this film?
You see some insanity. You see me lifting people up over my head and breaking spines, and throats get ripped and heads get ripped from bodies. It's awesome. And I also included, you have to be the biggest fan of Army of Darkness to get the reference that I put in this movie. But there is a moment where I directly, with my line read, reference Army of Darkness. And if you see it, let me know. It would make me laugh if anyone actually noticed it.
All right, I'm sold. I'm watching this the moment we're done with the podcast. It's Leroy Patterson. I knew you'd be perfect for this matchup. You are insane. You are brilliant. And by the way, you're also insane, which means we're going to have a fantastic show for today, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Ray, I'm beyond hype for this. Please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the martial arts master who got arrested for bigamy after giving away all 10 rings, Shang-Chi. And representing Mortal Kombat, the martial arts master whose martial arts matches are known to drag on and drag on and drag on, Liu Kang.
Interesting. Interesting, right? All right, well done. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit SayWerd, that's SayWerd.co/collections, and click on the Who Would Win merch to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary Who Would Win versus stand. It's amazing. It's great. Put your collectibles in such a way where they're going to battle each other. Take pictures. Post them on our social media platforms. We would love to see it. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Liu Kang.
Liu Kang is one of the most popular playable characters in the Mortal Kombat game franchise. I don't know why I said it like that. He first appeared in the game Mortal Kombat in 1992 and was created by Ed Boon and John Tobias. Liu Kang was a Shaolin monk who entered the Mortal Kombat tournament to help defend Earthrealm from being taken over by the evil Outworld after Outworld had won 9 tournaments in a row. Now, Liu Kang was very obviously modeled after Kung Fu legend Bruce Lee, and he carries that vibe with him since day one. He is one of the very few Mortal Kombat characters to debut in the original game and at least have an appearance in every game since then. Fun fact, we all know Mortal Kombat has always pushed the boundaries of video game violence as well as sometimes taste. But did you know that the game was responsible for government action? Yes, back in 1993, video games were being blamed for all kinds of stuff, including violence in the streets, satanic cults, and a pandemonium amongst our youth. This led to the creation, eventually, of the now famous ESRB rating system, which is still around today, to tell us how cool the game we're about to play is going to be. That, of course, sort of, is Liu Kang.
I love it. I remember that back in the day. That's crazy. All right. Here are the important details for Shang-Chi. Now, Shang-Chi, also known as the Master of Kung Fu, was created by writer Steve Englehart and artist Jim Starlin, whom I met, by the way. He's awesome. He first appeared in Special Marvel Edition number 15 back in December of 1973. Shang-Chi is the son of the villainous Fu Manchu. That's crazy. And was raised and trained in martial arts within his father's secretive and sinister organization. However, upon discovering the true nature of his father's ambitions, Shang-Chi chose to defy him, dedicating his life to justice and fighting against his father's criminal empire. His storylines often explore themes of honor, loyalty, and the struggle between good and evil within one's own family. In addition to his unparalleled martial arts skills, Shang-Chi has also been portrayed as a master of Qi. Over the years, he has become an integral part of the Marvel Universe, often teaming up with other superheroes such as Spider-Man, Iron Fist, and the Avengers. With his recent cinematic debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Shang-Chi, which was awesome, by the way, and The Legend of the Ten Rings, the character has garnered renewed popularity, highlighting his significance as Marvel's premier martial artist. And here's an interesting fact about Shang-Chi. Did you know that he almost had two connections to Bruce Lee? It's true. So no one can dispute the amazing action and fights and storylines of the MCU Shang-Chi film that came out in 2021. However, as lore has it, Stan Lee was interested in the Shang-Chi film way back in the 1980s. Stan Lee even talked with Linda and Brandon Lee about it, with the intent of having Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, star in the film. Of course, Brandon, who's the son of Bruce Lee, who, as I mentioned, had been inspiration for Shang-Chi in the comics in the 1970s, which is a great kind of connection as well to the character. And as great as Simu Liu was as Shang-Chi, because he was awesome as well, can you imagine if Brandon Lee, a real martial artist and absolute badass, took on that role? Oh, what could have been. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Leroy, do you have any questions before we get started?
Are we going with the standard version of Liu Kang, or are we going zombie Liu Kang? Are we going fire god Liu Kang? Like, are we just going with, like, the traditional Liu Kang?
I'll tell you as we go along, Leroy Patterson.
Great. Then no, I'm good. Let's do this.
I love how Ray just wins over the judge every opportunity he's got. It's just brilliant tactics. All right, let's get this party started. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Liu Kang. Let's just start by talking about some of his moves. Because as we all know, Liu Kang is the greatest martial artist of his entire, you know, I would say not just his world, but all the other worlds as well. There's a reason he is such an accomplished and great champion of the Mortal Kombat tournaments. Some of that is directly resulting in his moves that he does in-game. And that starts with his massive uppercut. Now, this is a move that all the characters in Mortal Kombat do to an extent, which is you go way down and you punch way up and you knock somebody 10 feet plus into the air, shooting blood everywhere. You know, Shang-Chi I've seen get hit in plenty of Marvel comics. If I seen him get hit with an uppercut that would launch him that far up into the air, yes. But that's besides the point. Liu Kang can do that. He also is an array of kicks, though. He does punch, but the kicks are really where this guy is strongest and where he is well-known. Of course, we're talking about the flying kick, which is where he can do it from basically any position at all, even jumping in the air, and then all of a sudden shoot himself like a missile across the screen at his opponent to a way that it's very, very difficult to react to it, because you're just not expecting someone to break the laws of physics the way that Liu Kang can do. Not to mention breaking physics, the bicycle kick. The bicycle kick is where he jumps onto his back and then kicks his legs like he's riding a bicycle, but on your face while he flies through the air and he hits you like 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Liu Kang does not seem tethered by the rules of this universe. Shang-Chi does to at least some extent. That's going to help Liu Kang when physics don't matter. That's Toon Force. Let's just keep it real. Also, the shadow bite kick, which is a version of the bicycle kick that he goes like Johnny Cage's shadow form. I don't know exactly how it helps or what it does, but when a man can kick you and turn himself into a shadow at the same time, I stand up and take notice. Not to mention his X-ray attacks in some of the more newer games. He's able to hit you to a point where not only will it break bones, but the game will zoom in with an X-ray to show you the specific ways that your body is breaking. And anybody who can hit you with a devastating impact of broken bones upon impact, that's crazy. But the other big thing that he does is shoot fireballs. That's not a thing that I believe Shang-Chi can do. James, you might surprise me with that. But he has not just the ability to conjure fire and launch it at people, he also has a certain degree of pyrokinesis as well. This is a guy who can not just shoot a fireball, but later incarnations of him can make the fireball explode as well. In fact, much like Ghost Rider, when he's using his nunchucks as weapons, he has those so they can, like, be on fire, and he's hit you with flaming nunchucks. Tell me what's cooler than that, besides Ghost Rider, because we could all admit. He could also cover his body in fire, including when he's launching through the air. At one point, he was jumping through some sort of weird old sea vessel, and he jumped through the sail while he was on fire, creating a hole in the sail and landing on the deck. I don't know. I don't want, much like the Human Torch episode not too long ago, I don't want to fight someone who's on fire. Last thing I'll mention is the fact that he can recover from damage very quickly. Being that he is, at his core, a video game character, he doesn't get stunned or injured, even as his limbs are shattered by the above X-ray attacks when done by other Mortal Kombat fighters. He gets up and keeps fighting until that energy bar is depleted, at which point he goes from basically 100 level fighting to 0 level fighting, so he doesn't wear down during a match. All of this, you can easily see, puts him in the driver's seat in this battle, and that's my point number one.
All right, I love both of these characters. I've been doing martial arts of various types for like decades now. So
sure, but
I just
can you do a bicycle kick, James?
I have, and I will this week against one partner I'm sparring with. He's a jerk. All right, now here's the deal. Let's talk about that. Bicycle kicks, massive uppercuts, flying kicks from all these positions. I mean, this is all great martial arts techniques, except for one little problem. Shang-Chi's seen massive uppercuts, you know, from The Thing, who's a great boxer. He's seen crazy flying bicycle kick type of attacks because he faces flyers in the Marvel Universe, speedsters, and insanely well-trained martial artists like Iron Fist and Black Panther, who, by the way, were not as good as Shang-Chi. So with all that being said, everything you just mentioned is impressive, but it's nothing that Shang-Chi hasn't seen before and dealt with quite easily. By the way, I'll mention what he's going to do with Fireball is my point number one. So let me just get to it. For my point number one, we're just going to talk about Shang-Chi, you know, at his base level. So listen, just buckle up, folks, because we're about to dive into why Shang-Chi would wipe the floor with Liu Kang. Yeah, I know I'm saying it, but I'm already kind of predicting how this fight's going to go. According to the official Marvel Wiki, Shang-Chi is listed as peak human. This is before anything starts. He's just trained himself that well. His strength, speed, durability, stamina, agility, reflexes are all maxed out to the highest level a human can reach. Think Olympic athlete, but supercharged. But here's where things get crazy. Shang-Chi's mastery over his chi, his internal energy, takes all those peak human abilities and then catapults them into superhuman territory. This guy's been training in martial arts his entire life, especially the internal styles. And all that means is that the chi, his internal energy, has been developed to a supernatural level. So what does this mean in a fight? Let's break it down real quick for the chi boosted powers he's got. All right, so when he uses his chi, he's got super strength. We're talking about the fact he can lift a small car, not easily, but he can pick it up. He can smash through walls very easily. He's got super speed. He's moving as fast as Spider-Man. He's dodging bullets, landing blows before his opponents even see them coming. He's got super agility and reflexes. Again, on par with Spider-Man, he can flip, twist, evade attacks with crazy, breathtaking precision. He's got crazy endurance. He can fight at full power for extended periods. He's not going to be tiring anytime soon, and he's always ready for more. He's got really great durability. This one's a game changer. He can use his chi to disperse the energy of attacks throughout his body. Look, he's taken hits from the Hulk and kept fighting at full strength. Imagine getting punched through a skyscraper and walking away without a scratch. Fun fact, when fighting opponents who can shoot fireballs, Ray Stakanis, Shang-Chi just catches them, holds them as if they were nothing, and then throws them and launches them back at his opponents at super speed to damage them. Another fun fact, even electricity doesn't seem to bother him anymore due to his chi protecting him with that shield-like aura. His chi can also protect him from crazy extreme heat and energy attacks. I'm just telling you, this fire attack stuff's not going to work that well against Shang-Chi. And here's the kicker. Shang-Chi's physicality really does rival Spider-Man, but his chi mastery gives him an extra edge. See, the thing is, he can now sense and read his opponent's energy, understanding their abilities and weaknesses in a freaking instant. Just being near someone lets him figure out who they are, what they can do, and how to beat them. This is something he did with Iron Fist, where he immediately said, like, wow, I can sense your chi. I know what you can do power-wise. I know your strength and all that. What do you think is going to happen when he faces off against Liu Kang and reads him right away? He's going to understand exactly what he's facing. Look, he's not just another martial artist, by the way. He's Marvel's undisputed master of martial arts. This isn't just fan hype. Black Panther, Iron Fist, Captain America, all acknowledge his martial arts supremacy. He's not just a master of Kung Fu and dozens of other fighting styles from around the world. His martial arts are so legendary that they're officially considered a superpower. That's right. His martial arts, according to Marvel, are a superpower at this point. Look, when Spider-Man needed to learn how to fight, who did he turn to? Wasn't Wolverine, wasn't Captain America, not Black Panther. He went straight to Shang-Chi, who created a new fighting style that would benefit Spider-Man and use his powers to his advantage. And there's even more. Shang-Chi can control his nervous system. He can deaden his body to pain. He can resist any type of drugs and poisons and toxins, whether it comes from Monster Energy or Red Bull. Watch our Patreon to understand what I'm talking about. Look, he can slow down his bleeding if he needs to. He can also use his chi to heal at superhuman speed. Not at Deadpool Wolverine speed, but just he will heal very fast. He's a master of pressure points. He can incapacitate, paralyze, even kill superhumans. Imagine hitting someone like Luke Cage, who's basically invulnerable, and taking him down with pressure points. That's Shang-Chi. By the way, his chi also gives him precognition to a point that's kind of like a spider sense. He knows how to anticipate and counter his opponent's moves in real time. He can sense where to hit, when to strike, and how to dodge, making him pretty much an almost unbeatable fighter. Look, Liu Kang, he's a top-tier fighter, no doubt, for Mortal Kombat. But again, he doesn't bring anything to the table that Shang-Chi hasn't already encountered and beaten easily. That's my point number one.
All right, now hold on. I think Shang-Chi is great, and he is known as the greatest fighter in Marvel Comics. However, he has to be, because he is fighting above his weight class a lot in Marvel Comics, because at the end of the day, he is just a normal guy. He doesn't have super strength. He doesn't have super speed. This is where I think Liu Kang has a massive advantage on Shang-Chi, who does have the energy-based stuff, sure, but he doesn't have super speed of his own. He does move like the speed of a fast human, but Liu Kang fights with a speed that is much faster than that. It's not that Shang-Chi can't fight speedsters. He's obviously done that before. But in this particular case where he's fighting somebody who has equaled his level in martial arts, or at least come very, very close to equaling his level in martial arts, but brings so many more tricks and violence to the table, I think the speed factor that Liu Kang outscales Shang-Chi in speed is absolutely where it's going to be at. And also, you mentioned the fireballs. If Liu Kang throws a fireball and Shang-Chi tries to play around with it and throw it back, pyromancy. Liu Kang will blow up the fireball while it's still in Shang-Chi's hand. Defend that, nerd.
Are you calling me a nerd, or are you calling Shang-Chi a nerd?
I would never call Shang-Chi a nerd. That's but bad. Also, I would never call James Gavsey a nerd, so I don't know. You have to decide for yourself, audience.
Ooh, he's calling the Legion of Audience a nerd. Let's see how that sits with them.
Not the first
time. In the meantime, let's go to our judge, Leroy Patterson. You've had time to hear one point from both Ray and I. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
This one's tough. There's a lot of back and forth, because there's a lot of similarities, right? So I've got to try to find those outliers, those little moments, those little things, those little factoids that will push the fight one way or another. I honestly do not have a favored winner right now. I'm not leaning towards one or the other. I do have one question, though, about Shang-Chi. You say he's resistant to Red Bull and Monster. Is that all energy drinks or just those two?
That's a great question.
Take the Patreon for the what that's all about.
That's a great question. Well, since we're still open to different sponsors, what I will say that he's definitely, you know, has protection against the negative effects of Red Bull and Monster Energy, both consumed in, you know, individually, never mind consumed at the same time. That's how strong Shang-Chi is. He can actually drink copious amounts of both at the same time and be absolutely fine.
Okay, and Ray, is there any history, any lore that would support that Liu Kang could also defend against various energy drinks?
You know what? I'd like to believe that somewhere in there, Mortal Kombat did in fact team up with one of these energy drink companies. I'll try to find that for you in a later point.
Thank you. Thank you. That would be very helpful. Other than that, no, I you both are making very great points. My work is cut out for me, and I feel like either way I'm going to be attacked IRL for this. So
actually, I have my answer for you right now, actually, Leroy. Energy drink G Fuel announced a new flavor celebrating Mortal Kombat. G Fuel Dancing Dragon, inspired by Fire God Liu Kang from NetherRealm Studios' Mortal Kombat 1. Looks like they got their own brand of energy drinks. That takes him a step above.
Oh, man. Okay. I have to relook at my notes now. But yeah, thank you. Please continue.
All right. Look, great points from Ray and myself. Great points from the judge. This battle is heating up. We'll be right back for point number two.
Back-to-school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free August 4th through 5th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you've got. Hit us with your point number two.
I'm looking for that energy drink advertising campaign. We're already doing it for free, people. Hit us up, any of you energy drinks, including Rip It, my favorite gas station energy drink. My point number two for Liu Kang, we're going to talk about the man. We've talked about the moves. Let's talk about the man, the character of him. Because this is a guy who's always been training. He was a Shaolin monk for an extended period of time, which taught him, you know, respect for life. which is why in the original Mortal Kombat game, he was the only character not to do an actual fatality. He would knock you silly, but he wouldn't kill you with his fatality move. He would do sort of like a handstand. I know it's not a handstand, but he did like a handstand cartwheel, kick uppercut deal, and he would knock you out. And the screen wouldn't even darken that much. That's what you need to know about that. But he has training in two different types of martial arts. That'd be Jun Fan and Pao Chui. And Jun Fan is otherwise known as Jeet Kune Do, which is Bruce Lee's way of the fist. And I don't need to explain to anybody who listens to this show what knowing Bruce Lee style kung fu means for your fighting ability. And Pao Chi is Sang Huang Pao Chi, which I'm trying to do it right and I'm brutalizing it. So don't punch me in the face many, many times, which is what this art form does. It teaches you to do rapid fire punches in a very short distance from your opponent. Also does chi based attacks. A lot of the chi stuff found in Dragon Ball and other types of chi based martial arts, James, comes from this particular fighting style that Liu Kang is a master in. Not only can he fight real, real good, which we already know about. Look, he's a winner of many Mortal Kombat tournaments. We'll get into that. But he can also turn himself into a dragon. How about we start there? What kind of defense is Shang-Chi going to have when his opponent turns into a dragon and like Trogdor and bites his upper half off? I don't think there's a martial arts move for getting your torso ripped in half. I'm just saying. But not only can he turn into a dragon, if he hits you hard enough, he can turn you into a baby. That's right. Liu Kang has babalities. And a babality will turn you into a baby. What does Shang-Chi do when he gets turned into a three-month-old version of himself? The answer is, I don't care how much healing factor you claim he has, James. He ain't coming back from that in 2 minutes. All he's got to do is get hit with a babality, and that ends it. And this is why Liu Kang won the very first Mortal Kombat tournament. Okay, it was the 10th, but who cares? In the first video game, that's what we're talking about. Liu Kang was the winner of the first tournament. And then he went on to beat Shang Tsung after he won the tournament, because Goro was technically the person he needed to fight in the tournament. Shang Tsung got PO'd at the results. He came out as an evil sorcerer who can shapeshift to take other abilities and stuff. Much like Shang-Chi could fight with many different styles, so can Shang Tsung. And he beat him too. Beats him all the time. Then he went to Outworld for the second game and beat Shinnok and Shao Kahn, another great sorcerer and another great warlord. And when you talk about story mode, he went on to beat Quan Chi and Scorpion 2v1. Two amazing fighters. He beat both of them at the same time by himself. Then went on to beat Goro again. Then went on to beat Shang Tsung again, and then punched through Shao Kahn's body with a fire-infused fist. Punched through his body like he was Gandhi 2 in UHF. Again, I know Shang-Chi can do some martial arts, and I'm not going to pretend he can't. But the level of violence that Liu Kang is now possible of because he left the Shaolin monks, he no longer has that I don't want to kill people mentality. Hasn't had it since the second Mortal Kombat game in the mid-90s, okay? Liu Kang will wreak violence on Shang-Chi in a form, quite honestly, he's not ready for. And that's my point number two.
All right, again, I love Liu Kang, but I got to push back on some things. Now, first of all, this isn't so much of a pushback. Shang-Chi also has similar tendencies. Remember, he left the training of his father and what have you, and then kind of is in going in his own direction. But when it's time to get vicious and kind of do the destructive styles that he needs to do and tap into, he has no problem doing it because his sense of justice, morality, whatever, is just so strong. Look, and he has severity control like no one's business. He knows what to do against every type of opponent he's going up against. So this will be a lot of fun. Now, in terms of, you know, turning into a dragon, you got to keep in mind that Shang-Chi has actually beaten one of the most powerful dragons in Marvel Universe. It's this character known as Fin Fang Foom. It's a monster-sized dragon. I know it sounds kind of weird to say it. And he's not just physically insanely powerful, he's also mystically powerful as well. And Shang-Chi actually beat that character. So very cool with the dragons and everything. And remember, Shang-Chi's also beaten kaiju-sized opponents before. This is a very versatile fighter, that's all I'm going to say. Now, in terms of Jun Fan and Jeet Kune Do, I've actually studied JKD. That's what's known in the inner circles quite a bit. And there's one big weakness that JKD had, especially during that period of time, where it became very popular. And that's the fact that it doesn't really specialize in grappling. It's got some submissions, it's got some takedowns, but it's more of a, hey, we do some of it to put in our style as opposed to really covers that. And that's a glaring weakness in the JKD kind of style. It's such a glaring weakness that a lot of JKD practitioners have to actually go to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and say, this will be our grappling element to this. But if you don't do that and it's really JKD, you're really not going to have that element. Why am I bringing this up? Because guess who knows how to use grappling, Western grappling, takedowns, submission holds galore? That's Shang-Chi. That is a glittering hole in Liu Kang's game that Shang-Chi can take advantage of. Yeah, I went there. That's what I do. That's why I love MMA. All right, now let me get to my point number two. And my point number two is time to talk about the 10 rings. You knew I was going to bring it up, so here we go. The 10 rings, something that Shang-Chi has. These are ancient mystical artifacts in Marvel Comics. Each one of them possesses unique powers and abilities, but instead of going like, here's ring number one, ring number two, I'll summarize everything they can do together and kind of put this all together to show that the 10 rings just make Shang-Chi even more of an absolute powerhouse. Now, the 10 rings grant Shang-Chi a set of insane superpowers, and these rings aren't just cool-looking accessories. They're really additional game changers in a fight. First off, the 10 rings boost Shang-Chi's strength to even higher superhuman levels. We're talking lifting massive objects, delivering bone-crushing punches to superhumans. His durability is now off the charts, too. The 10 rings provide protection against attacks that would seriously injure or kill any type of superhuman you can think about it. Bullets, blades, energy blasts are no match for him when he's got these rings on. They give him that extra layer of protection. Now, Shang-Chi's speed is also supercharged with the 10 rings. He's moving faster than ever. Low-level speedsters in the Marvel Universe are having a really hard time hitting him. He's really now pretty much almost insanely impossible to hit. Hits still come through, but really not that often. His stamina also got a huge upgrade, too. He can fight at peak performance for months without breaking a sweat. That's what the 10 rings do. It doesn't stop there, though. The 10 rings give Shang-Chi the power of flight and levitation. He's turning into a literal flying martial arts master. Take what Shang-Chi can do with martial arts and say, by the way, now you can fly. What happens to your martial arts? He becomes an aerial combat master like none other. The rings have got all of this covered. They also enable him to manipulate energy. This is cool. He can project orange-red aura that he can use in various ways. He can fire the rings as projectiles. He can shoot off energy blasts. He can shoot off energy blasts through the rings. He can send the rings hurtling at his enemies with devastating force. And then again, he's shooting energy blasts through the holes of the rings itself. And this means he's got 10 things he can hit differently. It's just really, really crazy what he can do with his offense. But they're also versatile tools in defensive combat. Look, Shang-Chi has complete telekinetic control over each of these rings, and he can use them to restrain opponents, control their movements in air, neutralize any threats that come near him. He can alter their size. He can make them shrink to bind someone or enlarge to smash through barriers or hold down large opponents. And for transportation, he can move the rings around using them to zip across the battlefield, even create portals for instant travel. That's right. He can create portals within each of the rings. Now, let's talk feats. In one epic battle, he used the rings to defeat the immensely powerful Iron Man. I'm just like saying that about Iron Man. And he dismantled his armor piece by piece with precise energy blasts through the 10 rings. Another time, he completely restrained the Hulk with the rings, as in completely subdued him. He has an official win over the Hulk. He also created powerful energy constructs to shield an entire city from an alien invasion. He destroyed a massive meteor hurling towards the Earth with a concentrated energy blast from the rings. He tanked a direct hit from a nuclear explosion by using the rings to disperse the energy throughout his body. He walked away unscathed. That's one of my favorite words, unscathed. He used the rings' energy to heal severe injuries really quickly. Look, all of a sudden, he's going to have a very close to Wolverine or Deadpool type of regeneration factor thanks to the mystical, magical abilities of the 10 rings. Fun fact, Shang-Chi has such great control over the rings, he can mentally will them to operate on their own and blast opponents from 10 different angles while all moving at super speed. He can also send copies of his punches through the ring so they can hit an opponent from 10 different angles or 10 different targets at the same time. This is crazy. The rings can also work on their own, like as an autonomous kind of constructs, and they'll just work on their own to shield Shang-Chi from unexpected attacks from all angles in case he doesn't see something coming. And the 10 rings, again, they open portals and can battlefield remove opponents. In fact, each ring can send opponents to a different dimension. And since the rings can fly on their own, they can grow and encircle an opponent and send them to a different dimension without having to force anyone through it. This is crazy. Look, again, as great as Liu Kang is, Shang-Chi just has too many weapons, literally, he brings to this fight. That's my point number two.
All right, well, you spent a lot of words there, James. Basically explained to all of us that Shang-Chi is just your ordinary run-of-the-mill Mortal Kombat character. Oh no, he can open portals just like Melina in Mortal Kombat 2, who can just drop through the floor and then drop through the ceiling above her opponent. Oh, he could basically teleport, you know, like Lord Raiden could in the very first Mortal Kombat. I'm just saying, for decades, Liu Kang has been fighting against these types of abilities. And Shang-Chi fights people, right? He doesn't just throw them through portals. Otherwise, he would just show up wherever Thanos was in the MCU, throw down a ring, and then the entire fight's over. Have we ever seen that? No. What did he do in the Shang-Chi? What do I see him do in Shang-Chi comics? He doesn't use the rings to teleport people. That is a niche thing that does not typically happen in his fights. So stop with the one-time deals. The other thing that I would mention here is that the level of character, besides all the crazy Mortal Kombat characters, and we know that there are a lot of them that Liu Kang has fought throughout the years. I've outlined a few of them already. Did you know in more recent outings, he's also fought such characters as Rambo, the T-800 Terminator, RoboCop? Let's see here. He has also fought against Peacemaker, another guy with energy-based attacks. He's fought against Homelander from The Boys, a Superman equivalent character, and Omni-Man from Invincible, yet another character I would maybe argue is even more powerful than Homelander. So this is a guy in a fighting tournament with rules that fights Superman-level characters on the reg.
You're talking about non-canon stuff as if it happened.
Okay. I'm talking about Homelander and Omni-Man.
Yeah, that's a thing. All right, look, we are at the turning point. Leroy, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Once again, I'm still, the needle just slightly moves, just bobs each way with each discussion. Liu Kang turning into a dragon was kind of a big deal, right? But then Shang-Chi destroying Fing Fang Foom, who's what, like the dragon, right? So that's tough. Every point that's brought up, a really good counterpoint is made. To where I'm still right in the middle, man. I can't wait to see what you bring out next, because this is tough. I'm stuck.
Look, we knew this battle was not going to be easy to judge. These are two iconic characters, possibly the best fighters from each respective universe they come from. Leroy, you're the only person we could come to with this type of huge responsibility. I have faith in you. Ray is here. So we know you can do what's right. But look, again, this battle is about to get insane. Stay tuned for point number 3.
It is summertime, and that means get-togethers. It means swimsuit weather, and HelloFresh has got you covered. Why don't you make your home the hangout place this summer with crowd-pleasing eats, from a backyard bratwurst bar to tangy key lime pie? HelloFresh Market makes summer entertaining a cinch for you. And let's face it, you want to eat well this summer, right? If you're going to be showing off your body, potentially. Well, HelloFresh's menu features calorie smart and protein smart lunch and dinner options, plus new vegan dinners to choose from as well, so you get some variety. HelloFresh makes it easy to reach your food goals with flavorful recipes that leave you feeling satisfied. And let's say, for example, you want dinner fast. You could just get it delivered, but let's face facts, that's not always fast, is it? But you can think of HelloFresh. With their fast and fresh recipes, they're going to be ready in just 15 minutes or less. Plus, HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout. What's the deal? I've used HelloFresh in the past. I enjoy getting a box of meals sent to me because I like going on the website or the app or however you choose to do it, right? And I like to go on there and I like to look through all the meals. And HelloFresh has a ton of meals to pick from. And I like to pick things that I've never made before, right? I like to pick dishes that blow my mind. Like, I look at the picture and I say, I don't know how I could possibly make that. I can't even conceive of what that is. And then I order it, and then I do it. And that's the way that you help improve yourself, right? Improve your knowledge base. Reach out with food. It's possible with HelloFresh. I will speak to that myself. Go to HelloFresh.com/WWW50 and use code WW50 for 50% off plus free shipping. That is HelloFresh.com/WWW50 using code WW50 for 50% off plus free shipping.
It's a great deal for some great food with America's number one meal kit.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number 3.
Well, then I guess it's now. Point number 3 for Liu Kang. We're going to talk about his ascended form. Because as I mentioned before, he was a former Shaolin monk. At one point, he was killed through some intense deception. He was trickerated by Shang Tsung, who went into a pact with another one of his enemies. They killed it, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he got killed in the storyline, and he turned into a revenant zombie form because Lord Raiden brought him back from the dead, which essentially made, like, evil, zombified Liu Kang, which is kind of B.A. Baracus, if you think about it. This version of a revenant zombie Liu Kang killed Shang Tsung again. Like, he's killed this guy so many times, the evil sorcerer and source of so much Mortal Kombat power, and he's been murdered by Liu Kang repeatedly, and also proven himself as the undisputed champion of the Mortal Kombat tournament. If you have a Mortal Kombat tournament and Liu Kang is there to fight in it, you already know Liu Kang is going to win that tournament. But besides that, he's moved on and ascended to become a protector of Earthrealm, and also has become an eternal god of fire. This happened. This is crazy to me, because there's a fusion, a Dragon Ball Z-style fusion that happened between Lord Raiden, past Liu Kang, and new zombified Revenant Liu Kang, where all three of those forms mixed together to create a god of fire. And this is where he essentially takes all of the things that I've said, and he heightens them to a godlike supreme level. He has ultra fire kinesis as this happens. He turns his body to flame like the Human Torch, and then shoots himself at the ground, and then can either blow up that section of Earth or burrow himself through the ground and pop up and attack wherever the heck that he needs to. And not only that, not only does he have the fire powers, but since he's been imbued with Lord Raiden's powers, now he's got lightning powers as well and can alternate between the two whenever the heck he wants to. And when you convert yourself into a living fire god, I have to say that this is where Shang-Chi and his little, you know, ring action is going to be having a lot of problems. I've seen Shang-Chi fight all kinds of living creatures. I do not think I've seen him knock out a god before. And that's going to be the problem. Oh, did I mention that's not even Liu Kang's final form? Did I mention that he actually reveals himself in the newest games to be a former Keeper of Time? He is now a Keeper of Time, which denotes him as a demigod that created all reality and the mortals which dwell within that reality. Which means that if he is on a playing surface with Shang-Chi, it means that he is a demigod who created Shang-Chi, which means he knows the guy inside and out, knows exactly what he will do at all times. You want to talk about omniscient? He created this guy. So therefore, Shang-Chi can't do anything that Liu Kang wouldn't know is coming. And as a demigod, I don't know how you kick punch your way through that obstacle. That is my point number three.
Interesting. You know, according to the rules of who would win, it's a neutral location, no prior knowledge of the opponent, no time to prepare. You know, you're just kind of coming to this battle with what you got. So I don't really think this whole omniscient, if that's the right term, ability to see absolutely everything, know everything, to create characters, like, actually applies to cross-universal battles.
Then you're going to have to explain to me what created all realities means, because to me, that's exactly what that means.
Sure, that means he created all the realities associated with Mortal Kombat, maybe, but he definitely didn't create all the realities with
not defined
DC Comics, Marvel Universe, and what have you.
It's not defined. He created us, James. Liu Kang created both us and Leroy Patterson, and I would like to say he created me in his own image.
Wow. I mean,
I'm chiseled.
All I'm going to say is it's clear that Liu Kang has performed, you know, certain activities like push-ups and workouts. I don't think you're in the same. Okay. Look, I will kind of get back to the battle with this. His ascended forms are really cool, but I believe he needs Raiden to ascend to these forms, and Raiden's not available in this matchup. You know, so he needs external sources of power to power up.
Oh, you mean like the 10 rings, which can operate on their own, James?
That he has, that Shang-Chi has on him at all times, right?
And apparently Liu Kang has Raiden inside him at all times now, so I think it's an apples-to-apples comparison.
I don't think so. And the other thing is, didn't Mortal Kombat have a reboot of sorts in 2023 where Liu Kang kind of came back to his original status as just a badass fighter without the whole Raiden power-up? I believe that's a thing. So I'm not even sure that the whole god form is still there for Liu Kang, although that is a very cool form. For Liu Kang. But now let me get to my point number three. Let's talk about some big wins and feats for Shang-Chi. So Shang-Chi has beaten Wolverine, Moon Knight, Captain America, Iron Fist, Spider-Man a number of times. In fact, in one fight, Spider-Man admitted that if Shang-Chi wanted to, he could splatter Spider-Man against a wall very easily. Another time, Shang-Chi beat Spider-Man by hitting him with just one of his 10 rings in the back. It completely took him out. He killed a character called the Ghostmaker, and the one little claim to fame Ghostkiller has was that he couldn't be killed. Evidently, he was absolutely immortal. And that was cool until Shang-Chi figured out how to do it in one battle and killed the unkillable being. He fought the Red Hulk, kicked him into the side of a mountain, which actually hurt him really bad. He beat Namor. I'm going to say call him Namor. That's the thing. This is, you know, Marvel's equivalent to Aquaman, of course. And he beat Namor with a technique called the Sword Fist. And, you know, just a little thing, punctured both of his lungs, but left him alive because he's cool like that. And these were wins for Shang-Chi when he didn't have the 10 rings. Now, with the 10 rings, he beat a character named Terrax with a few punches. Terrax is the Herald of Galactus, who's imbued with the same cosmic power that the Silver Surfer had. He's a very powerful being, you know, interstellar being from the Marvel Universe. He's beaten entire armies by himself. He even defeated Thanos, who had the Infinity Stones. You know, talking about warping reality and what have you, that's a great accomplishment. But there's a being that Shang-Chi beat that may be even more powerful than the Infinity Stone using Thanos, and that's a character by the name of Yu Wang. Now, Yu Wang is the god of gods in the Marvel Universe and holds supreme authority over all gods, all spirits and mortal beings. He governs the cosmos and maintains balance and order. He can manipulate reality at will. He can create and destroy matter, altering the fabric of the universe. He reshapes existence. He controls and rules over time. He controls the weather on an intergalactic scale. He has omniscient knowledge, which means he can perceive events across time and space. And he influences the moral freaking order of the Marvel Universe. This is a being beyond being. And Shang-Chi beat him. And the reason why is because Shang-Chi has some levels to himself. He can access a god-level type of power. With the rings, the 10 rings, he can take on the powers of an insanely powerful character named Zheng Shang-Chi. In this state, all of Shang-Chi's physical abilities are amplified exponentially. He gains incredible knowledge of mystical and, you know, mystical magic and martial arts as well. His martial arts skills, already unparalleled, already enhanced, are further enhanced exponentially, which makes him an insane, I don't know how you even calculate the badassery here. His chi emanates off him with a crazy aura, kind of like Goku when he goes Super Saiyan God mode. So now Shang-Chi can use magic just as well as he can use martial arts. See, the Ten Rings have higher than God levels of power in the Marvel Universe. They are at a universal level when Shang-Chi decides to access them. Look, they are considered either on par or possibly even more powerful than the Infinity Stones, according to Marvel. And let's just face facts. With the popularity of the Shang-Chi movie, you knew Marvel Comics were going to just churn Shang-Chi's Ten Rings into something absolutely insane, and they did. And when Shang-Chi accesses his power, he can go to such an ultimate level that he can take out beings as powerful as Thanos or even more powerful beings such as Yu Wang. I wish Marvel did more with this character. He's not that obscure. He's within the Shang-Chi storyline quite a bit. He's like this cosmic level being and, you know, God level above God level. And Shang-Chi has a win over that character. As powerful as Liu Kang can get, as great as he is, Shang-Chi has an answer for everything Liu Kang can do in whatever mode he's going to and can actually go way beyond Liu Kang in terms of power. That's why Liu Kang loses. That's why Shang-Chi wins. And that's my point number three.
You know, you brought up some very interesting examples for the fact that you want me to not focus on the most powerful version of my character, to then turn around with the same face and be like, oh, by the way, my character has godlike rings of power, blah, 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 and ignore the entire history of Shang-Chi leading up to very recent times is galling to me, James Gavsey. But it's par for the course when it comes to the way you fight these battles so dirty. The point I would like to make here is that, yes, Liu Kang is a mere demigod now. After creating the entire universe and everything in it, he has gone on to defeat and kill elder gods, such as Kronika, and she was not the only one, but nobody knows who that is unless you've played recent Mortal Kombat games, so I'm not going to dwell on that too much. I'll just say Liu Kang is at a fighting level now that he can defeat elder gods, which means this mortal character of Shang-Chi, and he's a great fighter. He's an amazing fighter. He has some amazing little tools and trinkets, but he's fighting a literal demigod at this point. And Liu Kang is going to see through all of his tricks. Liu Kang is going to be able to match him with a greater speed, quite honestly, a greater strength at the end of the day. And he, being a demigod, will overpower Shang-Chi as if he was Omni-Man, Homelander, the Terminator, or heck, anyone from Mortal Kombat. And that's the only way this fight can go.
Interesting points. Look, Leroy, you've heard three interesting points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Leroy has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
I have a brand new patron of the week. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people have been accessing our Patreon as free patrons. You can go and sign up for free and then get info on battles before we even announce them. And get access to some, but not mostly, of the videos. Then a lot of those folks see it, they like what we're doing, they bump up their level to now see all the videos, get voting rights. There's another vote happening this week, as a matter of fact, for our next patron suggestion. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make through all of that is we're going to honor one of our brand new patrons by the name of Jamie Keller, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
Jamie Keller, you are our patron of the week.
Wow, Jamie Keller sounds insanely powerful. Okay, you know what? Let's do it. Jamie Keller, I'm putting you up against the entire Cobra organization, the terrorist organization Cobra, from the mid-1980s animated series.
Now, Jamie Keller, for the record, is exceptionally strong. Obviously works out, obviously takes care of his body, obviously is a Shang-Chi level of physicality. In that, I mean, purely human, but a pretty good human at the end of the day. And what's going to happen here is Cobra is going to launch a massive attack on the entire world, because that's what Cobra does. They've stolen blueprints and they've stolen everything that they need. Laser discs, laser beams. They've stolen all of the above and they are ready to go. And that's when Jamie Keller uses his surprising ability to disguise. Jamie Keller actually dresses like a run-of-the-mill Cobra soldier, works his way through like Agent 47 the Hitman, changing costumes all the way up to the point where he is now impersonating Destro in the Cobra command room, and he's just going to walk over and say, "Oh, my dear Cobra Commander, I have but one more thing to program for your ultimate laser beam of death." And he will walk over to the control panel and put a virus in there that sets all Cobra gear to self-destruct, defeating Cobra, escaping from the base on a hydrofoil after knocking Copperhead off of it. That plays, I think. Okay, great. He beats Cobra. Congratulations, Jamie Keller. You're our patron of the week.
You know, two things I got to say. Jamie Keller, that is an amazing win on your part. Well-deserved. And also, who knew that Destro sounded exactly like Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek The Next Generation? Now, well done, Jamie Keller. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. All right, Leroy, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Liu Kang and Shang-Chi.
So obviously, this is not an easy one. Every single point that I marked down as, ooh, that could be a winner, was immediately rebuked. Every single time. I wrote 14 positives for each person, all rebuked, but one. There was one that stood out to me that I did not see a counter or an example of a time that they've dealt with this issue and had to overcome it. So here's how I think it would play out. Shang-Chi reads the chi of Liu Kang and immediately knows, because I'm assuming we're dealing with the highest form of each character, the fire god Liu Kang, the god version, the supermax version of Shang-Chi, right? So Shang-Chi reads the chi, knows this is a serious fight, knows he is about to fight someone immensely powerful, right? On par with any of the most powerful people he's ever fought, possibly even more. So Shang-Chi's going to go hard, right? He's going to bring every single trick in the book. He's going to be teleporting punches through rings. It's going to a flurry of punches and attacks, and everything is coming right towards Liu Kang before he can even move, right? And then Liu Kang goes dragon, right? He goes immediately to one of his bigger upper echelon moves. Shang-Chi's ready for it. He's defeated Fing Fang Foom, and unfortunately in this moment, Liu Kang the dragon goes down. So Shang-Chi beats the dragon, right? He's defeated Fing Fang Foom. Dragon Liu Kang goes down. Liu Kang is against the ropes. He's got one last trick to pull out. He hits a fatality. One of the most brutal Mortal Kombat 1, Mortal Kombat X style fatalities. Cinematic. It's gross. There's blood everywhere. Guts spilling everywhere. Shang-Chi is toast until he starts to regen. He regens to full strength, right? They are going back and forth. Shang-Chi goes for a death blow. Liu Kang is on the ropes. It is not looking good for him. Liu Kang realizes. It's been a long time, right? It's been many games before he pulled out this trick, but he's got one last trick in the book. The skies darken. Shang-Chi doesn't... He's had a really good precog of what's going on every single time. He does not know what's coming this time. Skies darken. All of a sudden, wham! This little explosion hits. It was meant for Shang-Chi. It would have turned him into a baby. But it missed. It hit one of the rings instead, and that ring became a gold bar. And Shang-Chi got just a little weaker. And it was in that moment that Liu Kang realizes the rings are the source of the power. I need to go for those. So he's avoiding hits from Shang-Chi. He's lighting up those rings with heat, fire. Every pyrokinetic bone in his body is racing towards igniting these, melting these down. And it starts to work. Who knew this was possible, right? But the fire god Liu Kang starts to melt those rings until they are nothing. Shang-Chi stands before him, a mere peak human, still great, but not able to keep up with the fire god anymore. Fire god Liu Kang gives him a nod, wishes him a happy battle, and then tears him in half with a spinning uppercut. That's right, he went and he pulled back from the Mortal Kombat 1 roots, but this time the head went flying clear off because he was a peak human at this point, no longer a god. Liu Kang wins.
Wow. Okay. I'm not happy with the decision, but boy, am I ever happy that you're the judge for this episode, because the logic that you just put out there, story that you laid out for the Legion of Audience, I hate to say this, but I can see it. I can see it. I disagree. I think the Ten Rings have withstood much more powerful attacks and energy blasts and what have you from godlike beings who can destroy the universe, as I mentioned before. But I understand the logic you're coming from. So I don't agree, but I'm not upset with this whatsoever, because you just laid it out so beautifully. Race to Canis, I got to give it to you. Congratulations on the win. Tell the Legion of Audience how you're feeling right now.
I really thought Liu Kang was going to win it with the Babality. I wanted it more than I could really physically express. I'm happy for the victory. That's two in a row. Ray with video game characters is back, baby. After I lost like six in a row with it was embarrassing for me, who works in the industry in my spare time. Outrageous. But now we're back. We got two in a row. We got The Witcher. We got Liu Kang, and I feel pretty much invincible. I feel like fire god Liu Kang at this moment, because I'm only heating up. And what happened to our judges in season 6, where every single one of them became the greatest auteur of a generation? Leroy Patterson has been on the show before. We've had other judges, some of which have never been on the show before. They show up in season 6 and bring their best stories I've ever conceived of to their decisions. Wow, is all I have to say. The judges on this show, they keep getting better and better and better, and I deserve to win. I'm out of nice things to say about other people.
I mean, just the fact that you had a nice thing to say was very impressive. It shows growth, Ray.
I'm blown away. The stories that people have been coming up with on the show, win or lose, but obviously I deserve to win them all. But win or lose, it's so exciting to hear where the judges are now taking these battles. And it's, if you go back and if you join our Patreon and you listen to episodes from season 1 and 2, we don't get that. We get it now, and I couldn't be more overjoyed.
Again, there's just so much logic to having Leroy Patterson on this episode, you know, between two martial arts icons who are both based off of Bruce Lee, by the way, the martial arts icon of icon. Leroy, again, I'm not saying I agree with your decision, but again, it's sitting really well with me, which is kind of a weird, unfortunate place I am spiritually, emotionally, and especially intellectually. So while I figure that out, please feel free to come back on the Who Would Win show anytime. And in the meantime, tell Legion of Audience where they can find you online.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter or any of those sites as either the Human Tack Board, or just as Leroy Patterson. Feel free to add me. I'll add you back. All that fun stuff. You can find me right now. You've listened to this. The moment we say our final goodbyes and you listen to that last commercial. If there's a commercial after this, you listen to that commercial. You do not turn it off. You listen to the commercial. Then immediately All right, I don't care where you are. If you're on a boat, jump off the boat, swim home. Because you need to go turn on Tubi, which is a free service, and watch The After Dark. Watch it in its entirety, then tell your friends about it, and then watch it again, okay? Just to see, I you see a little of my skin. I'm going to be honest. There is a moment where you see a lot of my skin, actually, and in a good way, right? This isn't like before the puking would happen, things intervene. But go watch it. It's great. You see heads getting ripped off. You see people from amazing punk bands. You see Sin Bodhi. Right tonight, you just listened to Liu Kang fighting Shang-Chi. Now go watch Gangrel versus Sin Bodhi in a vampire brawl. It's great. You're going to love it. Enjoy.
All right. I recommend this to the Legion of Audience. Like, again, Tubi is free. You just got to sign up. It's an amazing service. And you get to see Leroy Patterson and a lot of Leroy Patterson. I'll leave it at that. All right. Look, Race to Cadence. Congratulations again on another very well-deserved victory. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Look, I was already sold on the movie until you essentially threatened me with a good time, Leroy Patterson. I am here for this. You know me. I love me some vampire stuff. I love me some blow-em-out action movies, and I'm a big fan of the human tack board. So what more do I need to do other than go to Tubi right now after I finish this episode of the show and go and watch The After Dark? I have already set up a note. It's going to email me as soon as it's out of the oven, if you will. I do want to read one recent review. This is from a 5-star review. You can go to, of course, your iTunes, your, I guess, Spotify's. I don't use it, but some people do. And you can give us a 5-star review, which you should do if you want to get my attention in a good way. 5 stars from Naomi Anime. Naomi Anime. I don't know what that means. But it's called I Love This Podcast in all capital letters, 5 stars. I am obsessed with this podcast. I randomly listen to it out of nowhere, and it's always so funny. James and Ray are so funny. Oh, they meant, James, for some reason, they must have accidentally put you in there. One battle I would love, though, is Jinx from League of Legends or Arcane, which is, you know, I know something about that, versus Shigaraki from My Hero Academia. Don't know what that is. But basically, they just want anyone up against Shigaraki. Anyway, all caps, keep it up. 3 exclamation points. I will keep it up. Thanks, Shigaraki, anime, whatever the heck your name is. The point I'm trying to make is great job, great 5-star review. You are an unofficial Rainiac. I am making you official. You are now an official awkward ally. Whether you chose to be or not, that's how conscription works, and that's how we add to our ranks. You can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316, and go watch The After Dark. I know I'll be talking about it on that Threads account mentioned a moment ago, because that's what I just said.
Ray, all I gotta say is names are hard. It's okay.
I can't do them. I proved in this episode I cannot do them.
It's all good. You got Liu Kang down really well, by the way.
Look, you had me arguing a guy who killed a guy named Shang Tsung a million times, and then his opponent Shang-Chi. What chance do I have? Somebody give me a ticker. I tried not to mess it up, but I'm sure I did.
It's all good. All right, look, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in @JamesGaffney. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. Now at 80,000 members, it is insane. It's crazy. It's growing like crazy. Although we love all of our social media, you know, platforms, communities. But this is a place, a Facebook group, where you can make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our constantly growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcast. On behalf of myself, Racy Cadence, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Crying when Optimus Prime died.
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode.
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.